Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of
Pre-match Booty.
Hey, there we go, Selo. You got the memo today. I love that, Nick. Not so much.
Can you hear me?
He froze. Okay, now he's unfrozen.
I had Claudio, so he pressed go, and I had Claudio frozen like this, lying like this, stretching. So, just for our viewers, that's what our host does. Just getting ready, stretched up for the event. So yeah, apologies.
And just in case you're wondering, that's exactly what Nick makes his players do as well before the game. Am I right there, Nick?
Make them practice
the celebrations. Practicing the celebrations.
Yes, and the jumping jacks. Everyone online with us today, as you can see, we've got the Devil United in the top right-hand side, my top right-hand side anyway, and then at the bottom we've got King of the North, not so north, more south, because they're fighting at the bottom, looking for a new coach, and it seems like they're coming closer. They want a new manager before the weekend's fixture against Brighton. Nick, we might as well just kick this off.
Happy Diwali to everyone. If you hear some fireworks through the microphones and everything, that means that people are celebrating wherever we are.
Fair enough.
Yep. Happy Diwali, everyone.
Good evening to Nick.
I got too excited, I guess. I think we all did. It was
including the owners, Nick.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. Unfortunately, I think if you look at the new ownership, there's a contract with the PIF fund, the Saudis. They've got a contract with a company called PCP, which is Amanda Staveley and her husband and the Rubin brothers who put the deal together. But they've got a contract to run the club and make decisions on behalf of them. And this sort of move in the last couple of days proved their sort of naivety, for lack of better words, if you want to call it. I'm reading a lot of reports, the deal was done from their side. I don't think Unai Emery has been as honest as he should be, because I do think the deal was very far along. But I do think the Villarreal sort of setup were quite upset that this deal or the approach was leaked. From my understanding, in Spain, you are allowed to approach coaches, so they weren't too upset with that. But the fact that this deal was so far along the line, whereas there was talk that he was actually going to fly in today and take training, I think that really upset them. If I'm honest with you, apparently, from what I've read, is that the deal was a crazy deal for him to take, like in terms of money that he was going to get. And I think Villarreal pretty much said to him, listen, you had a Champions League club, we'll bump up your contract. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of weeks if you see that Unai Emery extends his deal and probably gets a bit more money. So I do think they should have just probably kept it a little bit more quiet in terms of how they went about things. But they'll live and learn. If you look at the City takeover, they made a lot of mistakes throughout their first 2-3 years before they actually got it right. And if I could tell you that I would have a new owner and Eddie Howe as our manager a month ago, 2 months ago, I would have bitten your hand off very quickly. So Eddie Howe seems to be the second choice. I see that there are rumors that are coming out that the panel of people taking the interviews were split between the two, but I think that's just a ploy in which they can just make sure that everyone knows that Eddie Howe was a front runner as well. Wow. But I highly doubt that, because Eddie Howe and Unai Emery are in completely different leagues. But Eddie Howe is a young coach who's done it in the league before. I was very vocal on the show that I thought he was a little bit of a fraud in terms of, claiming that he didn't get backed. And, if you look at their last transfer window, they spent over £100 million and they got relegated. But maybe his time at Bournemouth was done. Buying those types of players for Bournemouth. What I've learned in the Premier League is
just before you continue, I'm just happy as a Liverpool fan if Eddie Howe goes to Newcastle. That means we're going to sell all our fringe players and make good money again.
Yeah, listen. Eddie Howe's never really had money, that we're going to have. So it will be interesting to see what he does with it. But I think we've done this the wrong way around. We've got a new sort of board, getting a new coach in before we have a sort of director of football. So I think they're doing this the wrong way around. But I do think that they are in a rush to get someone in because we are in a bit of trouble, you know. So, you know, Eddie Howe knows the league. He's played some good football. He's worked on a smaller budget than normal. And what I've learned from the Premier League is you will get relegated. If you're not one of the top six, top seven teams, if you look at all those teams, eventually, if you don't spend more and more every season, you will be sucked into a relegation battle. And it's happened to all those teams. You know, you even talk about a West Ham. West Ham, in the last 10 years, have been relegated. So at the end of the day, maybe this is maybe me trying to justify it. You know, Bournemouth maybe ran its course, you know, 5 years in the Premier League. And you know, if they're not spending big, they're not going to eventually kick on. So I know the league has changed over the last couple of years, but I think Eddie Howe's an exciting coach. I am worried because he does concede a lot of goals. So hopefully with his two years out of the game, he's maybe, you know, sort of learnt a bit more in terms of how to set a team out defensively, and maybe he's the man. Maybe he's the man.
Yeah, but I think
he's better than Steve Bruce.
Yeah, that's 100%. And I am a little bit disappointed with a section of our fan base, but I think, Claudio, we've spoken about this. You know, I complain about some Liverpool fans on Twitter, and there's a lot of keyboard warriors, a lot of arseholes, if I'm honest
with
you.
Well, I mean, Suarez got booed last night by some Liverpool fans. Yeah, so
I mean, if you look at it, you've got guys in our fan base tagging our new owner's husband, like asking him why it's taking so long, and like, for me, that's disappointing. You know, at the end of the day. But
you've only had to wait for how many years? What's a couple of weeks?
Look at Pums. Pums says Eddie Howe is a Brendan Rodgers with more budget.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. He's saying you must get Brendan Rodgers with more budget. I don't know. But whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at it, if you have to actually, the problem comes in here is that we were touted at getting a Conte initially, and then it went to an Unai Emery, and then you settle with an Eddie Howe. I can't see why people will be like, oh, like, okay, that's a bit of an anti-climax. But, you know, if there's a silver lining in the fact that my team is going out to try and get Champions League coaches, you know, we're making approaches, we're having interviews with them. So it's showing that the times are changing, and it's a good sign for me. You know, it was never going to happen overnight. And if Eddie Howe can keep us up, and I people are saying, yeah, we're in a huge relegation battle. We're only 9 games in. I do recognize that we are in trouble, but we win 2 games and we climb up the table. You know, it's immediate. The mood changes completely. If that continues into January, then it's a different story. But you win 2 games, we're out of it. We're there. We bring everyone back into the mix. And then, you know, that it starts to change. And then we've got a big transfer window with reportedly 190 million to spend. And, you know, it might be a different story. So I'm excited. I think going forward, we're going to look good. But he needs to fix that defense, and that's a big concern. But there's notable players that haven't been playing at the back. Fabian Schär has played 60 times for Switzerland, and Federico Fernandez. I think two of our best center backs are not playing, and they're ball playing players. So potentially Eddie Howe might get the best out of it.
Yeah. So, and just in case you're listening to Goal Lounge for the first time, and you weren't sure why you should listen to Goal Lounge, I think this is the most comprehensive Newcastle coverage you will get from a South African point of view. So if you're a diehard Newcastle fan, definitely jump on here. Selo, you wanted to say something?
No, it's just very interesting. I think obviously the international break is coming up. You know, this is the last round of fixtures before the international break. And I think it's very important that a manager gets into the club during this time. So even if it's not for this game, but after this game, and then obviously the players who are not going on international break, international duty can actually get the time to train with the new coach. You know, Saint Maximin's not in the French squad, Wilson's not in the English squad. Almiron might have to go to Paraguay, but then there's other players. So I probably, let's say,
majority of the squad.
Jolinton won't be gone. So majority of your squad will be available. They can hit the ground running. They can warm up with him, you know, and train, and then figure things out. And then obviously slot in your your bigger players, you know. So I think that's one of the best ways to do it.
And I think what I like, I mean, why, you know, we are a bit of a laughing stock at the moment because Emirates turned us down. And, you know, I came onto the show and I posted a few comments there for you guys. But if you look at his record, Emirates, like, actually did better than Wenger in his Wenger's last season. He did better than him. And he finished 1 point off the Champions League and a point, two points behind third place Chelsea.
And Europa League final.
Europa League final ahead of Man United. And then I'm thinking, like, maybe he got given a bit of a raw deal. And, you know, yes.
That was a turbulent time at Arsenal.
Yeah, it was a turbulent time. There were players bought that he didn't buy. So I actually then thought, and I was one to judge a book by its cover. I was like, ah, he was tired at Arsenal. And I laughed at the way he spoke in his interviews. But when I actually did my research and looked at the way he plays, and I watched, bloody well watched the whole Villarreal game on Tuesday night. I mean, for no reason. Like, just to see the way they played. And then the next morning I wake up and then the deal's off.
Oh, damn, man. The man was ready. He was one of the philosophy. He was buying into it.
And why I'm a little bit disappointed, obviously, like, they pushed training back to this afternoon. Because what was coming out the media was that he was going to take training. So it was very far down the line, and I think he just chickened out. But I think a guy like Eddie Howe, who's gone through his badges, he wasn't really a top-level pro. He knows how to coach. He doesn't have a coaching job or managerial job because of who he was as a player. He's built his way up. Yeah, and... I mean, I've watched a few videos of him actually coaching and how he delivers and the way his tone in which he speaks to the players. He's very calculated and that's going to be quite exciting. I would have loved him to be in against Brighton. I don't know if that's too late because I think the deal might be done today, late on.
And also, you wouldn't want to throw him into that. Brighton are buzzing at the moment and he gets a bad start. And also, one of the positive sides for Newcastle is Graham Jones, the man who's taken over from Steve Bruce, or the interim manager, so to speak. He has worked with Eddie Howe in the past.
Yeah.
So he's already, Eddie Howe's come in saying how he's going to utilize Graham Jones. They're very familiar with each other. Also, one of the benefits to looking into Roberto Martinez, apparently. But I think from the Eddie Howe perspective, you've already touched on a lot of the facts. He's a young coach. He's earned his badges. And also, we tend to forget the fact that the man brought up Bournemouth from second division and climbed to the Premier League.
And might I add, they were going out of business. They were going to get relegated out of the Football League. And he saved them from relegation and he built them up. So, I mean,
he's earned his Premier League status and to be linked with a job. I think from that perspective, when you look at it, and also, you know, the argument could be like, well, you've already touched base in terms of Bournemouth sort of hitting a stale ground at best right now for Newcastle. A mid-table sort of finish would be great for them. 100%. But that's exactly what they're looking for. And Eddie Howe could be the Mark Hughes for the next step. And you know what? Sure. If he does even better, then it's a bonus because you've got a young English manager on your hands.
And if you look at it, he's got an opportunity now to break through with the money that we have. If he does a good job, he's got an opportunity now to break into the top six eventually if he does a good job. You know, the Premier League and the pundits are crying for top English managers. Who's there? You got Klopp, you got Pep, you got Solskjaer, you've got Tuchel. And then you have Brendan Rodgers.
And we still have Steve Bruce.
Yeah, well, but then you have so how many top English managers are there? There's still, I don't think there is an English manager that's ever won the league. No English manager has ever won the league. So. Yeah. There's an opportunity for him, and I think he's looking at it. You know, he's 40 something. He's quite young, and he's got an opportunity now. He's like, I'm at a big team. I'm not going to be a Mark Hughes who's just, you know, a stepping stone for this process. Let me actually take the bull by the horns. I can spend a bit of money and actually build a team. And you know what? There's a lot saying he got relegated to the Bournemouth. If you look at the young coaches that are at the top of their game, Tuchel and Klopp also got relegated when they started out in their respective leagues. So, you know, that he would have learned from it. And let's see. Yeah. It will be.
It's going to be a double-edged sword. Obviously, he's never worked with that responsibility before. When he has been given some money, he's wasted it on fringe players. But you could argue with a club like
Liverpool rejects.
But you could argue it was hard to attract sort of higher caliber players in the first place and then manage the squad. But I do think him coming into Newcastle right now, working with the likes of Callum Wilson in the past, Ryan Fraser, and there's another player from Bournemouth, if I'm not mistaken. He knows them. They know him. Yeah. And I think it's pretty much...
No,
it's just the three of them. But if you look at it, you say that, yes, he did get money to spend, but I think he wastefully spent that money. But yes, if he's got, say, double that money and he can attract a better quality player, not because of the stature of the club, but I mean, if Bournemouth went and spent 50 million on a player that is worth 50 million, a player in Spain or Germany would probably come to, I'm not saying from the top teams, but if a young up and coming talent would go to a Bournemouth as a stepping stone, but they never had those funds. So maybe with a bit more money now, actually with an attractive proposition, who knows? You know, we'll never know until it's tested. But yeah, I'm quite excited and let's see.
And also just shout out to everyone who is on the line from obviously our regular Sam Pumalani Aman and obviously Jason. Thank you very much for joining us. And also I just want to comment on the fact that Jason's saying good appointments. I like him, but surely they need a technical director. And I think to the fact that you've already touched on, these are new owners with a lot of money, not sure how football works. Making those sort of mistakes, I think what they need to do, and they need to do it fast, apart from bringing in a manager, is find right football people in this space. I mean, Selo can touch on this and seeing how Man United has unfolded when they hire someone just for a marketing exercise as opposed to a footballing exercise.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know it all too well, man. I think, the most important thing, I think, also there is a measured approach, right? You don't just take over a club and then, like, immediately... already have someone in mind, because you know who was available. You know, Conte was available, but even that was probably, Conte was probably thinking other things. You know, he was probably thinking a short term, you know, contract or whatever. But yeah, I think they've gone about it the right way. You need to have the right football people in charge. You know, Man United have the right business people in charge for the business side of things, but it doesn't you know, help us for the footballing side of things. You know, they took out a statement that Man United is the most followed football club on TikTok. What the fuck? I don't care about that.
It's probably making you money.
These guys are getting paid for, man.
Exactly. So I hate that shit. So, but yeah. But let's see what happens. And obviously, I think there were rumors about a West Ham also getting a new owner potentially.
Not a full owner. I think he's looking long term to potentially a big share, like a 30%
share.
What's the player's name? Plays for West Ham now. The Suchek. Fellaini version.
Suchek.
He's gone a long way, bro. He's even attracting Czech owners.
He's even attracting Czech billionaires.
But this is quite an interesting point, though, that Jason makes. Like, we do need a TD, but I am concerned. I'm just thinking, like, it's obviously a very modern form of running a club now, because in the 90s and the 2000s there weren't TDs, there was a manager and he was in charge of everything. But are Newcastle able to do it the other way around? Because they're going to have to do it the other way around. You're also going to have the TD that you bring in to buy into the fact that you've got Eddie Howe, for example, if we do eventually sign him. So that will be interesting to see how that unfolds, because
necessarily. I don't think if you bring a technical director in, I don't think seeing Eddie Howe is like going, this isn't going to work. I think the guy's job, first and foremost, we know the state Newcastle in.
No, but I'm thinking the other way around, Claudio. I'm thinking the TD might say to the owners, this guy's not good enough. Because
I'm saying is, even if he does do that eventually, it's not a... You work with what you have right now, and what we know from a Newcastle perspective is it's not a well-run club. It's not a club running like a football club. So his job wouldn't necessarily be replace the manager. The manager's just there at the moment to make sure at the end. The mandate is Newcastle not to get relegated. That's it.
It will be a disaster. Imagine being the richest club in the world and you're in the second division. It'll be
funny.
It will be a very Newcastle thing, though. It will be a very Newcastle thing to do. Like,
embarrassing.
No, man. I don't know if a good TD would... Yeah, possibly, Jay. I guess so. But, you know, this is a risky job for anyone. You know, someone who... Eddie Howe has nothing to lose.
Answer this, Nick. Spoons is asking, what is the sporting director's role?
So I would say to dictate... I don't really like the setup of having a TD, although it's worked in the past.
Guys, just give me a second.
No problem.
I do think the TD role holds. No, I was thinking that. It holds value, especially where you've seen it achieve success. I think Liverpool's had success, you know, PSG to an extent, Barcelona, Real Madrid, your Man City's, Chelsea's. But I would like to think that the coach has full ownership, but if you can have a striker relationship between the TD and the manager where they're both thinking on the same path, you know, to answer Pums's question, the sporting director generally dictates the way that the team is going to play and assists in terms of identifying players in which the club needs and in which the coach can work with. Furthermore to that, that philosophy will go down to the academy levels and the grassroots levels, and I think they will head up the whole recruitment setup from youth right up until the first team.
Yeah, they do everything.
So I would say this does vary club to club. You know, you might find at Liverpool that Klopp has a major say in terms of who he actually wants, versus maybe a Barcelona that signs players when there's not even a coach in place.
You're being linked with players before even securing a job for the manager. Yeah, so, and I think, again, exactly, just based on the technical director perspective, it's all dependent on the relationship firstly. Say, for example, if you come into a place like a Barcelona where it's a club fully known for a technical director and those decisions are made, you know, coming into the job, if you want the hot seat, these are the things you've got to manage as a coach. You're not going to have the final say on things. I think from Eddie Howe's perspective, the one thing going for a club like Newcastle, if they get a technical director, is that he is a young manager and he's open to new ideas. And I think one of the strengths from a Liverpool perspective is that you've got a manager in Klopp who said he was open to it, whereas previously we had Brendan Rodgers and it was a fail. He didn't want it. He saw management the same style, fashion as Sir Alex Ferguson. I think modern football has evolved, and I think if you know how to work with someone, teamwork, your eyes can't be everywhere. So if you get the right people that you can trust, it makes your job a lot easier at the end.
But you can also massage that situation, for lack of better words. You know, Klopp might have been clever there saying, okay, I'm not going to do what Brendan did. Yes, I agree with you. But he's a very big personality. So he might say to the sporting director, okay, they sit down, they say, we need 7 players this summer. We need 2 centre-backs, 2 midfielders, and 3 attacking players. And the sporting director comes with 3 players that he thinks should happen. And then that might give the leeway for Klopp to say, but listen, I want those 4. You get your 3, and then we sort of agree and we meet halfway, if that makes sense. So it's about striking that relationship. And if your TD and your manager are like best mates, you know, you've really got it. Like, look at Leeds have the TD that Bielsa, I think, takes wherever he goes, if I'm not mistaken. If you've watched that documentary, you know, he trusts him to get the deal done. And he's a lot younger than Bielsa, but I would like to think that the relationship is so good, that he would say, listen, I need a guy who can press from the front. And, you know, I've got Bamford here not doing the job. You know, I've got my eye on 1 or 2. You give me a couple of options, and then we'll meet and discuss it. I think that's sort of what they're looking at. And exactly what you said, Claudio, you know, you can't be everywhere. You can't see everything. You can't watch every football match.
100%.
So,
one of the best models you can see is Borussia Dortmund. You know, I think obviously Borussia Dortmund is just unfortunate, the fact that Bayern have just so much money, but they are consistently a top 3 team in the Bundesliga and get out of the group stages of the Champions League. And they've had a couple of different managers, you know, your Klopp's, your Tuchel's, Lucien Favre and the current manager. But they've consistently used the same, similar model, you know, get young players that are good enough. Yes, cool. We don't have the money to pay them the higher wages when they get to 25 years old, but then we can sell them at that age, get good money, your Dembele's, your Aubameyang's, your Mkhitaryan's, your Sancho's and so on. Yeah. And we will give them a platform. So Bellingham, he knows he's 18 years old, but he's probably going to be there for another 2 seasons, 3 seasons max, and then he's going to leave and go somewhere else, you know. And
they're going to make money off him. They're going to make good money.
Reinvest it as well. Find another good talents that they find, you know what I mean? Because they've always had, you know, good talents. You know, one of the always the best teenagers or the best under 21s in Europe, you know. Even similarly, look at Ajax. Mark Overmars, yeah, the technical director there, together with him and Edwin van der Sar, they run the club well. Yeah. And listen, Ajax is the best team in the Champions League this season, if I'm being honest. Yes, maybe their group is not as tough as the other teams, but they've created the most chances, scored the most goals. You know what I mean? So, and they've got four out of four wins, you know what I mean?
And I think to close off on the TD.
The team that scored the most goals and most created the most chances.
AC Milan, Atletico Madrid, Porto, haven't lost.
To close
off on the TD aspect, I think Selom raises a valid point here, you know. Not only the relationship with the coach and the recruitment team is very important, but the relationship with the CEO and the owner with regards to the club is very important, because he has to make those sorts of decisions. Who is he buying? Yep. Who is he selling? And he's got to go to that board meeting and explain why they've lost money on a certain player, or explain why they're doing something in a certain way, because it might potentially make their money in the next couple of years. So. Yep. Yeah, I think it's quite a fascinating role, and it's a very modern sort of way of running a club, but it seems to be working. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get one in soon.
Well, what did I want to say now? I'm gone completely blank because I'm thinking of the next topic. Oh, I wanted to say, regardless of what happens, if Eddie Howe does come in, I think being linked with a player like Coutinho is very different compared to a player like Dominic Solanke from Liverpool.
Yeah, so 100%. And I think, I'd like to think that Eddie Howe would be able to get the best out of him. a little bit more than what Solanke could have given him.
Yeah. But anyway, gentlemen, now it's time. Man United versus Man City.
Ooh, the big one. We're doing it in order, I see. Yeah? We're doing it in order.
Wow.
The first one.
Guess what's last, Selo? Guess what the last game of the weekend is?
Liverpool. I can already imagine it's Liverpool. It's Liverpool versus someone. Oh, West Ham versus Liverpool. Yeah, okay. West Ham by the Europa. So their game is going to be on today and then Sunday. Okay, no, fair.
That's funny.
I do it according to the fixture list. Always.
Yeah. Always.
Yep. I don't
big game. Big game, Selo. What do you think, bro? Is it going to be another situation where, you know, you got your win, get out of jail free card last week for Ole, and now you fall apart? But this game is always a draw, win for either side.
Man United or a draw. But I think.
But you get results in this game, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. We usually win or it's a draw. Ole has got Pep's number, but to be honest, I think it's going to be a very tricky game. City have, they lost their last Premier League game, and then they went out of the League Cup against West Ham. They won in the Champions League, but, you know, Man United, without Varane, our defense is shocking. You know, he brought some stability last weekend against Spurs, and even against Atalanta, when he was still on the field, he brought that stability. And it goes back to Solskjaer rushing players back that have come back from injury.
Man's
you
desperate.
Play, you,
the
man,
play, I was about you, to say, he's desperate, yeah, bro. He wants to give his job.
You play Varane against Spurs. Let him take a breather. Don't play him against Atalanta. Play him in the derby. You know what I mean? Then play whoever you're playing against Atalanta. So that you're not playing three games in the space of 7 days, you know, don't do that. You know what I mean? So I think I personally feel that Solskjaer did that wrong. He's rushed back Maguire against Leicester, and then obviously he got shown to the cleaners. He rushed back Shaw against Villa.
He still makes England team, bro. Come on, with that form.
Not Sancho though. Sancho must be kicking things.
But he's not playing, guys.
Maguire is playing, and Maguire is playing shit, and he makes a team. I'd rather be on the bench and not playing shit.
Do you not think Maguire's got imposter syndrome right now? I think he's looking around the dressing room. He's like, there's no ways I'm deserving this captain's armband. Everyone's judging me on how I trap a ball, because Lord knows I don't have a good first touch. And I think he's playing on his mind.
Guys, let's be honest, guys. Maguire didn't have a bad season last season. He had a good season. I think he was top five centre backs in the Premier League last season. You know, he was solid. You know what I mean? And this season, like, you know, and obviously that form continued into the Euros, where he was one of the best centre backs in the Euros. And now he comes back. It's like, where's this guy that was playing so well?
It's fear. If you look at him, there's fear in his eyes. I'm telling you, it's imposter syndrome. He's looking around the dressing room, and these other guys are going, hey, man, this guy's shit. And then he's going, how can I have this armband when I'm playing next to Ronaldo?
What do you think Ronaldo thinks of him? That's sort of like... Imagine Ronaldo against Maguire in training. Like,
so Juventus, or not Juventus, let me say, Massimiliano Allegri, right, has this rule, when he was appointing his captain at Juventus, when he joined again this season, right? He said that the player that's been here the longest, right, will be the captain, right? So that's Giorgio Chiellini, right? So Giorgio Chiellini is the club captain for Juventus. Then the vice captain is Pablo Dybala, right? Instead of Bonucci, because Bonucci was at Juventus, then went to AC Milan for a season and then came back. So that's cut his years of being at Juve. And now Dybala is the vice captain. So Dybala basically is the captain most of the time because Chiellini can't play every game, you know what I mean? And now you're getting this guy called Slaphead, doesn't know much about Man United, doesn't know what it means to play in front of Old Trafford, in front of a crowd, you know what I mean? David De Gea was there, player of the season, four seasons in a row, player of the season.
Phil Jones has been there the longest.
No, De Gea's been there. De Gea and Jones will sign the same season. De Gea and Jones will sign the same season. So those two guys will sign the same season. So yes, Jones for vice captain.
But can we kind of like agree on the fact that I think it's the captain's armband that's killing this guy. I think if they just take it off him and they give it to Ronaldo, things will be fine.
No, definitely. No, I think just give it to someone that's not Maguire, because also
not someone. Give it to Ronaldo. The Oak's not going to be there for a long time.
The thing is, if you give it to Ronaldo, that enhances him. Like it would probably make him play better. Like
Ronaldo, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So it would enhance him completely.
Give it to him. No, definitely. He's already I think
a player, like Ronaldo, Bruno, or De Gea are three guys that would be better captains than Maguire.
Also, you know what's happening now? He's getting undermined in the changing room. People aren't, people are looking at him. They're not seeing that sort of leadership. You've got Ronaldo saying, come on, guys, lift it. And then they're looking at the captain going, this is a joke. So just give it to him. No one's going to complain that Ronaldo's captain. Everyone's going to play it behind Ronaldo.
True.
I mean, look at Bruno. Bruno is a different player in a sense where last season he was the Ronaldo-esque sort of player, the spearhead for United, trying to do things, wanting to score because he needed to do that. Now he's going, flip, let me just put on a plate for this guy, and he's going to bury it. So,
and listen, I think Ronaldo is going to be really up for this weekend. He's going to be like, fuck, we need to get a result. Like, regardless of what's happened, you know, he wants to play these big games. Obviously, you had lost to Liverpool, and I think he'll want to right that wrong. And I wouldn't be surprised if he scores one or two. I think it's going to be quite an entertaining game, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, but listen, guys, we still have a very poor coach, guys. Don't forget that, guys. Listen, guys. You can have Ronaldo wanting to score goals, right? Ronaldo wants to score against Liverpool, right? But if you're open at the back or your tactics are not good enough, then you know what I mean. I think also the fact that Lindelof is not 100% for the weekend. He probably would have wanted to play another a back five again. So now that's obviously 50-50, and we don't have many options at centre back. It's Bailly and Maguire who's a minus one. So we need Lindelof to come in at least so we can actually play the back five. But if not, we're gonna play a back four. And even the back four, when we went back to the back four against Atalanta when Varane went off, we look so suspect. Maguire had to be spelled out by Bailly so many times. So many times. You know,
is Matic not a good option at the back?
No, I think at left centre back they should use Luke Shaw because they've used that before. They used it against PSG last season. They used it against PSG last season and it worked very well.
But let's also if you've got to compare the two now, Luke Shaw versus Matic to next point here. Matic is already playing that role where he's got to read the game, he's defensive. He just has to be in the right place. Luke Shaw likes going forward. So the discipline, I wouldn't say, and you can correct me here, but just in terms of the natural position of the player, it's not in his nature to be in that sort of situation where he doesn't want to go forward. So I personally think it's a safer bet to have a Matic there than it is a Luke Shaw, despite the fact that the benefit in having Luke Shaw is the pace to cover for Maguire. That's the benefit.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, obviously, is that he's played in the position before. Last season against PSG, he played in that position. Telles played left wing back. So yeah, that's my thing.
Stello, are you reading that comment there? We can buy your whole starting 11. Thank you, Stephen, but we wouldn't take Maguire. You can keep him.
I know who you want, Nick. I know you want Martial, Bailly, and Lingard.
Yeah, I'll take. Maybe I'll just take Sancho as well because you're not playing him. So.
Hey, man, Sancho's a better coach, man.
I'll give Donny some minutes as well, bro.
Still on. Hey guys, Donny scored in a different department, eh?
Hey.
Yeah, but can Donny not play at the back? Can Donny not play as a centre back? I think he's clever enough to
of
probably play
could.
That role.
I think
Listen,
he could.
I've seen Frankie De Jong play centre back as a part of a back three at Barcelona. Guys who are from Ajax can play any position.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they're very astute in that.
Do you want to answer what Pumlani is saying? Thoughts on Greenwood. I think, I was impressed with Greenwood's cameo on Tuesday. Usually people say that Greenwood is quite selfish, doesn't make a pass, he's individualistic. But I think also sometimes that's what happens with poor coaching. The poor coaching is Vibes FC. Hey guys, go out on the field, express yourselves. Just, there's no tactics. There's no telling you to do this, to do that, to make triangles or whatever, But I like the first goal that we scored in terms of how he played the ball into Bruno. But I think definitely under a better manager, the kid will definitely develop. But this season, you've seen he's lethal as ever in front of goal and scored some great goals.
All I keep thinking about, Celo, is that he is young. Yeah, he doesn't have a good coach, but he'll be learning from Cavani, and he'll be learning from Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And that's a hell of a prospect for Man United if they know how to get
a
manager coming forward. Also, shout out to Vards, shout out to Steven, and who else has joined it? Oh, also, Sam saying bye Fred, Nick. Just bye Fred from Man United.
Listen, maybe for our reserve team.
Look at Steven. Steven comes on for the show for the first time and is already like, hey guys, put me on there. I love it. I love the enthusiasm.
I hope he's a Newcastle fan, but I hope you were one pre-takeover. That's all I'm saying.
Jeez, I didn't even see this comment, Stephen.
Ask him. No, this is a good question. Ask him, who is the greatest ever French player to play for Newcastle? Let's see his answer. I know the answer.
Stephen, yeah, no pressure.
Let's see. The greatest French player to play for Newcastle.
just hang on. I just want to keep talking about the Man United sort of prospect against Man City. Gents, we don't really cover from a Man City perspective for obvious reasons, largely because that person is absent from our show. But if we're looking at current form for Man City, them losing, and again, you speaking of previous record with Man United getting results over Man City, realistically, what are we thinking is going to happen here?
I think it's going to be a cagey game, but I think Man United is going to go into it with the objective of not trying to lose, and I think Man City, knowing that they're 5 points behind Chelsea, will definitely want to win this at all costs. They cannot be further behind Chelsea. They've already helped themselves by beating Chelsea, but they've lost ground by losing to a Palace. So they would have been 2 points behind Palace, but now they're 5 points, 2 points behind Chelsea, sorry. But now after the Palace loss, they're 5 points behind. So I think they'll want to win, make a statement, I think it's a derby, and derbies how they are. Form goes out the window. But yeah, let's see what Man City does. I think Pep said that this is the best his side has been playing since he's managed Man City, which I was laughing at because I've seen his teams play much better than this. But obviously, he'll say that just to boost their egos and so on. But it'll be interesting to see how they set up as well. I think, obviously, Pep, the tinker man, he obviously tinkers, and sometimes he overdoes it in big games. But yeah, let's see how they go. they go on.
I think it's not a bad omen that the irony is behind having Ole as manager. He does somehow get those results against Pep, which does make him overthink things. So that is in your favor there. Vard's saying, Nick, stay away from Mkamba. He's protecting his Aston Villa players.
Marvelous. Also, Sam coming
in. Marvelous. Saying, marvelous. The boy from Zim.
The Zimbo. Sam saying, Bruno has been been constantly delivering. Ronaldo's performance makes people not realize that.
Lindelof is out. So...
Okay. Look. Steven has come back and said Johan Kabay. Nick, do you agree? In recent times,
the best Frenchman has to be David Ginola.
That's my favorite. David is the best.
Yeah.
But Johan Kabay.
We've had a couple of good French.
Hatem Ben Arfa was a flashy man, but not consistent.
Saint-Maximum has a good chance of surpassing Ginola if we can go on to bigger and better things. He is only 23 or 24. I don't think he really is, but if he can stay fit, maybe something comes. He's got a couple of kids.
I don't know why Newcastle just haven't given Kevin Keegan a call. Yeah, just throw the man back in there.
We were actually saying maybe bring him back. I was chatting to a few of my mates in Newcastle and. It would be lovely. Imagine him coming in to be the TD. But I think he's been out of football for too long, so it might be a little bit of a stretch.
There'll be another Kenny Dalglish sort of return, but it did help steady the ship for a bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if him and Alan Shearer get sort of ambassadorial roles at some stage, which would be very nice because, you know, you could get them in to sort of chat to... chat to the players, chat to the manager and the new owners to sort of keep them along the line of what it means to be a Newcastle player and staff member.
Look, I think this is visual thinking from Nevada there, saying fancy City to sort out United and end Ollie's reign. He's also his French shot for Newcastle's Laurent Robert.
That guy used to have a sweet left foot.
I'm going with Jason here, gents. He's saying from Liverpool, won the Champions League. You can't beat that. You can't top it. Doesn't matter.
But we're talking about Newcastle
fans. I know, but you're not Liverpool fans. We like making it about
Jason's slow, though. I told him that earlier, so he's late to the party. So
Jason, why are you giving me second-hand information? That's not as cool. Should we cover the Arsenal-Watford game? We don't have an Arsenal representative. I kind of feel like Wonga's been getting loud, and I think he's going to get louder after the weekend because they are hosting Watford. So I think... Let's move on to the Everton Spurs game.
Everton Spurs. Yeah, that's cool. That's a good game. We don't want to be talking about Watford.
What's interesting with this is, obviously Benitez is under a lot of pressure, and I've been reading a few things like we might get a manager in this week, but Conte might go and beat Everton, and he's walking a tight rope. You know, I would love Benitez back.
You guys hire Eddie Howe.
And then he becomes available.
After losing to Spurs.
It would be crazy because from what I understand is it's been widely reported that pre-takeover, when we were supposed to get taken over 18 months ago, Benitez was already spoken to by the PCP, Amanda Staveley. And he was keen. You know, that's all he wanted. He wanted to come in and work with a team that's trying. So it's interesting, but... You know, it's written.
Steven's saying he'd love Wenger for a few seasons, but he's nearly 87, so at least the man's got a good diet, Steven. I think the players will be all fed.
But yeah, I think for me, Conte, it's written in the stars for Conte to go in there and flip and, you know, create something out of nothing. And
Harry Kane will definitely score, guys. I think a manager. Like a manager with prestige will definitely help him to get him firing again, guys.
But Rafa is going to make it. He's lost two on the spin now. He is going to set up shop and park a bus, bro. I can guarantee you that. He's not going to want to lose.
Compact.
No tea. Do you remember that? Do you remember that one that he did? They say he's got magic powers because he moved like this, and then I think his name came across the TV like mid-2000s. He moved like this, like Benitez with a magic wand, and he goes like this. And then his name comes up, Liverpool manager. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. But
just back to the game, gents, with the Conte coming in, Spurs. Look, it's not a hidden secret. I don't even think it needs to be reported to the fact that Harry Kane is very chuffed about this. And this is also one way to keep Levy keeping Harry Kane happy. And I think if we're looking back, Cedo likes talking about Conte getting the best out of players. We do know one thing that he's very similar to Mourinho in a lot of aspects where he's going to challenge players. And Kane's come out saying the issue with Mourinho's reign was he was calling out the players to be accountable. Not many players were accountable. But at the same token, you know, Mourinho did get the best out of Kane. And when you're looking at a Conte, very similar to Mourinho, he's going to be on the players' cases. The difference being his emphasis is on going forward. So it should change for Spurs in terms of the sort of Son Kane getting back to their best form. But the question remains how he sets up with the rest of the side and whether or not they've actually got the appetite to meet the demands of Conte. And I'm thinking, gents, we're already saying here that, you know, Conte is going to get the number over Rafa. Cello, what do you think from this perspective? First game in, what's the expectation in terms of the performance that these players are going to need to put in?
I think, obviously, I'm trying to remember what time they're playing. So I would have liked to see the starting lineup while we're on the show, but I think the game's only at 10 p.m. But it will be interesting to see how they set up. Let me see. Yeah, they only play at Conte is going to cream pie ref. What the flip, Steven? What the heck? Yeah, I don't know, man. But I think yes, it is as you said, Nick. It's going to be a very tough game for Spurs and Conte because he won't want to lose. But yeah, Ayanda's saying something very valid there.
Shout out to Ayanda. Claudio, Ayanda's
a Liverpool fan, so shout out to him. He's one of your boys.
Yeah,
one of your
boys. To be fair, Ayanda, you say that, but unfortunately, this chance has gone now. So if
he doesn't.
Yeah, the thing is, it's gone. So I don't see them going back for Una. And, you know, we might get someone bigger than him. So I don't know. I don't know if
you
it's
see, the cockiness in Newcastle fans, we might get someone bigger than him.
You know, you guys always give me shit. The Liverpool fans always make the conversation about ourselves. But have you noticed a change in Nick's sort of conversation?
Definitely. He brings in his club every single way.
I'm commenting on the comment.
He made
a good decision to stay at Villarreal. Okay, great. Villarreal in the Champions League. But they on the Champions League because they won the Europa League. They're not going to make the Champions League next season. So will he get another big job? Yeah, he probably will. He's a very good coach. But it might not be in England. I can tell you that much. It might not be in England.
Look, Nick, you've already been labeled with the term arrogance, right? So thanks, Pooms, for
thanks,
saying
Pooms.
That. I do want to go back to the Spurs conversation.
Yeah,
saying,
what else? What
Kane and Son, very like Lukaku and Martinez at Inter. And I don't think we can deny that statement. I think that's a very fair observation.
Deadly combination. Lautaro Martinez gave Lukaku a lot of goals and vice versa. We can definitely see them working in tandem. Will be interesting to see if Conte does go to the 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 formation that has helped him in recent
he's
past.
He's loved that, 3-4-3. Yeah, that's like his
go-to formation. Yeah,
but I think also
3-5-2.
No, it depends. At Chelsea was 3-4-3.
Was 3-4-3,
and then at Inter was 3-5-2. But then at Juve, he also used 4-3-1-2 at Juve.
But I think what he does is he looks at the sort of setup and the resources that he has. Already they've come out and they've said Inter came out a couple of hours ago saying that they don't want to sell their players to Spurs. It was reported on Sky Sports. I didn't read the headline properly, but
the man leaves the club because they want to sell his best players, and now he's going to have to go back
but
and
now,
buy them. And they're going,
but now. So obviously rumors are rumors, but there was rumors that he wants 6 players. That's what I read last night, but it could be a lot of bullshit, but he wants 6 players from Inter. So that makes me think of
Ashley
one or two things. It might be.
Ashley Young is at Aston Villa, man. Come on.
Yeah. It might
be. What are you talking about? Oh, I forgot you, his brother. Yeah.
But it might be a lot of bullshit, but I think if he is already looking for players, he might not fancy the squad that he has already. But I think Spurs have a decent squad. I think they've got good players, and I think You know, he's got it. He's got 2 months to try and get the team playing in a certain way, but he can't change those players yet. He can't sell them. He can't buy new ones. So, you know, it would be worrying if he's waiting for that transfer window, because it might be too late to break into that top four if he does do that.
I don't think he's waiting. I think, look, he's got a shit side in terms of, we've seen the characters not there. That's the issue with the Spurs sort of squad. I do want to comment on this sort of Vard saying Rafa is the next Villa manager. I do just want to point out the last former Liverpool manager to go to Villa, his reign didn't end too well and he had a heart attack. So I don't think that's too good for Rafa to go to Villa. That's all I want to say.
That's a harsh one, eh?
It is a bit harsh. Yeah. Rest in peace. Man, best time. Anyway. Also saying Eriksen will probably return to Spurs too if Conte fancies him. Also interesting from the Serie A not letting him play.
He can't play in Serie A, guys.
Why is that?
If you have a pacer. Daily Blind has like a pacer and he can play in the Netherlands, but in Italy you can't play with like a hard instrument or hard, I guess you can call it a hard instrument or something like that.
They probably don't want to take the insurance out on it, that's why. Because I think the league has insurance for those types of things. They're probably, the premium's too high. as bad as it sounds.
fair.
But I'm excited to see, it's two quality managers against each other. So it will be interesting to see how they set up and Everton need a win.
Just going back to the Julio sort of thing. It is from my Liverpool. I mean, when I was really...
We'll talk about it with Liverpool.
Who's bringing in their own club now, bro?
Ayanda. Ayanda, welcome. Thank you.
Man, he just said rest in peace. You don't have to say anything. You have to say... what I think about Julio.
Former Liverpool guy. Ayanda said rest in peace, Julio. So, or what? Can I not talk about this?
We might as well talk about Liverpool West Ham. Just go.
So how do I weave my way in here with a Newcastle statement? I'm just
trying to think. Just bring it in, man.
Okay, cool. From the West Ham sort of Liverpool game, I think Liverpool have found, you know, the Olympic Stadium there in London a happy hunting ground recently. I know West Ham found themselves in good form. One of the famous goals Liverpool like scoring against them is when they're defending a set piece and catching him on the break. Yeah. So I'm not sure if they're going to learn from that. I think after beating Atletico last night and doing it quite handsomely as well in terms of having good control over the game, I would like to think that the form is going to carry over into the game. They're going to have to try and push Chelsea again, and they can't afford to drop more points. So me personally, I think the game should be sort of... It will be a tight game because West Ham aren't bad and they find themselves in a good way, but it should be a result that Liverpool need to get across the line, in my personal opinion. I don't know if you
need to get across the line, but I think a team like West Ham will want to prove to the league that they're not pretenders for top four, and that they actually will be in this top four race. I think this is a match where you get a point against Liverpool. Then it shows that you actually are serious about the top four. They've been riding on a high. I think the one element that West Ham is missing is another striker, another striking option apart from Antonio. You know, it's so weird that one of the leading goal scorers in the Champions League is a former West Ham player. Sebastian Haller is killing it for Ajax. He scored in every single group game. He scored a hat trick.
And he couldn't score in the Premier League.
But guys, I told you guys. If you're not playing for a player, how is the player going to do well, guys? Yeah, Benteke at well. Liverpool. Benteke was a target man. Didn't play for him. You know what I mean? So you can't
Crystal
be. If, you know. So if you're playing for he's playing so well now against at Palace for Vieira. So Sebastian Haller scored, I think, six goals in four Champions League games. You know, so he's doing very well. But I think West Ham do need another striker just for Antonio understudy or someone.
I think if they want to kick on, you know, I was listening to TalkSport today and they were saying, Alan Brazil was saying that he likens West Ham to a gang. And like in a very good way, like they are like a gang of brothers.
Ever, a gang's been a good thing. This is a good gang. They're not going to mug you. They're only going to burn your house down. It's a good thing. So you can claim the insurance money.
But if you look at them when they go away from home, and like obviously it's all what you see in the media, but they really look like a tight-knit group. And I think Moyes has done well in terms of, you know, resurrecting his own career, you know, going to Man United and sort of being shown the door, failing in Spain and Sunderland, and now he's really got it back. And he's got a tight-knit group of players that have done well last season, and they've proven that it wasn't really a one-hit wonder. But there is a long way to go. You know, the longer they go into the Europa League will be the true test to see if they can withstand. And, you know, they're playing away again. They've got to come back to London and play arguably one of the best teams in the league. You know, it is going to be a true test of their real character. And, if they can get a result, then they really do mean business.
They're currently trailing. They're currently trailing in the Europa League 1-0. They're playing against Genk in Belgium, so it's about to be half time now. But it'll be interesting to obviously, as you say. And I think, you know, we always speak about the Europa League hangover, guys. You know, when teams, luckily Belgium is not far from the UK, but you know, if imagine they had gone to Eastern Europe and flying back from Eastern Europe, arriving like on a Friday morning, for instance, from Eastern Europe, whether they would have been tired. But luckily they're just in Belgium, so they should be back tonight. It'll be a very interesting game. It's actually interesting that Ayanda's bring up Declan Rice, guys. I know there's a huge English bias in the Premier League. When an English player does well, then they start touting the player as the best in their position. So apparently Declan Rice is the best midfielder in the Premier League this season. I don't know, but that's what I heard from English commentators.
Would you have him in your midfield?
I've got Fred McTominay.
Yeah, so you would have him. So he is one of the best.
But my midfielders are not even the best. My midfielders wouldn't start at Brighton.
Question, would you guys have Bissouma over Declan Rice?
Yo, that's a tough one. Yo.
I think Declan Rice was very average at the Euros, if I'm very honest with you. I watched all of England's games.
I mean, what about Kevin Phillips over Declan Rice? Especially for Man United.
I like Calvin Phillips. I like Calvin Phillips' passing game. He's got a better passing game, definitely.
I think they had different roles in the Euros.
Because Calvin Phillips is a good, very good passer of the ball, man.
Energy,
very
man. Good.
Declan Rice is breaking up a lot of play.
But I think Bissouma, I'll take Bissouma.
Oh, look at that. Ayanda already saying the same thing as you. Yeah. So, also, Sam, stuff you. Why are you coming on the show saying that West Ham are going to go do things against
Liverpool? I think Claudio, they're going to play against probably the most deadly front three this weekend. Yes. So it's going to be a true test. And
I'll let you finish that. But I do want to say, Settle speaks about a hangover, the Europa League hangover.
Yeah.
David Moyes has another hangover. It's the Liverpool hangover. Whenever he faces Liverpool, whenever he faces them, he's like a DNA. Mm.
I just think they're too good at the moment. We didn't watch a game on Saturday, Claudia. We were too busy at the bar at the wedding. They were playing obviously against the Brighton that was, well organized this season. They're looking like they're doing something under Potter. But, you know, all the teams have dropped points this season. So I wouldn't be surprised if they come and really make it hard for West Ham to get anything.
Just from a Liverpool perspective, looking at their performance in the Champions League, and Wonga's not here, but if he was here, we know what he would say for January in terms of the league. You know, losing Salah and Mane is a big blow for them. Obviously,
And the
overage player with the smallest shin pads. Have you guys seen that picture going around? The shin pads are like four centimeters wider than high. Kato, so when we're looking from that perspective and we're looking at their midfield, what do you think are Liverpool's hopes realistically for the season in terms of the Champions League and Premier League?
I think it would be interesting to say that they need to maybe go into the transfer window and maybe add one or two players for that 6-week period. I don't know what you think, Silo.
I think they should, guys. You definitely can carry. You can carry on with a Jota and a Firmino, but I think you need someone else. You need
to maybe score a few goals.
Exactly.
The goals that you're going to lose. Yeah.
Yeah, so you just need someone, but also it's a bit tricky because it is like a, you're trying to do it like a short-term fix, but also a short, you can also do a long-term, with a long-term view. You know what I mean? When I mean long-term view, I mean the fact that you guys have four attackers, essentially, because an Origi, for instance, must then leave, you know. And then you could have five attackers, you know, for three positions. And that could be a long-term view. You know, a Shaqiri left, and, you know, Origi is not, you know, a player who's used in the Premier League. So I think a player maybe who's like a 24-year-old who can contribute.
I would get a player in. Like
which player would leave, though? Which player would leave their club at the time?
You maybe go and get someone that's firing in a league that, I mean, you could spend a bit of money with the prospect of replacing a Salah, because Salah's coming to Newcastle in the summer. So it is. I like the long-term thinking there, Selo. I like the long-term thinking.
Yeah, I think so. But I think you go for a player that's shooting the lights out. And there's this kid... Okay, but now you guys wouldn't like him, actually. There's this kid who plays for Club Bruges. He literally plays... Yeah, you know, Claudio would hate him because he literally copies the way Neymar plays, so you would hate him. But then there's a guy who plays for Ajax. His name is Anthony. He provided two assists yesterday. So there are some players who are playing in the outside the top five leagues I think you could probably look at. Those are the guys I think you... would add value because they also aren't expecting to start when Salah and Mane come back, but they are expecting to be integrated at some point in time. And Klopp has had a history of integrating players, biggie, you know what I mean, type of thing. And
Do you not have anyone in your youth that's firing?
But, so that's actually what I wanted to bring up here. So Jason, obviously before this comment, which we're gonna talk about, saying just missing one player, he thinks Firmino and Jota are enough. He just needs one more. My question is Harvey Elliott. I know he's picked up the injury. He started on fire. He was playing more in a central role. But for Blackburn, he was playing high up the park. And he was playing
right.
So I wonder, just based on the evidence at the start of the season, if they can get him up and running and they can get the legs going, if he's not the option. I know it's going to be a huge gamble, and to expect Liverpool to then compete for the league title is going to be a huge ask.
When is he returning?
I don't know. He's already in training, man. He's already. I saw him taking pictures with Fernando Torres last night.
Wow,
that's crazy. And also, out of all the players, he's just got a good head on his shoulders. I think when you see how he behaves, and so it's going to be an.
Would you not be interested in, like, I know it would probably not happen, but like a Jesse Lingard?
Oh no.
You wouldn't take him.
Player. He's a Man United. If he wasn't a Man United player, you would take him.
Bro, he was scoring. He was scoring for
a lesser
team in West Ham.
You would take him if he was not a United player.
I wouldn't mind, actually. Actually, I would take him if he hits the ground running. The only problem is he's playing with the United logo on his back, so if he doesn't, it makes it a bit harder for him. But if he hits the ground running, it's nothing sweeter than rubbing in the face of your...
Has Liverpool or Man United ever loaned a player to
not directly. They have been players that, like Paul Inch, obviously Mike Lowe, and they have been players that have made the rounds, but there's been another pit stop in between. Jason's saying someone whose contract is expiring, like Dembele. Now, the only concern I have for Dembele, not only, I've actually got a couple. First being the attitude. The guy seems like he doesn't have a good attitude. Missing training for playing PlayStation, things like that. And then the second thing being he's the only player I know who's had more injuries during his time at Barcelona than Keita's had at Liverpool. So that's a bit of a question mark from my perspective.
Stevie G can give you the Buffalo, the one who plays there for Rangers. What's it? They call him the El Buffalo. What's his name?
I thought you were talking about Joel Linton there for a second. No.
Stevie G can bring you... What's that guy's name, man? The guy, the striker for Rangers.
Morelos.
This is why Liverpool will not dip into the market. This is why. Look at Pumz's comment.
Minamino.
The boy is good, man. He is a good player. He came on last night.
But give him some game time so that he can be ready when Salah and Mane go, guys.
Look, he's been getting scraps and he's been doing well in the scraps. I think he's earning his right to get something, but it's just a level of trust. You know, that's one of those things that any manager has to deal with. And I think Nick, you'll talk about it. But right, gents, we're going to move on. Betting predictions. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go straight for it. What?
Oh, no, don't worry. It's okay.
Did you want to talk about another game?
It was about my team, but we spoke enough about my team.
But no,
no, no, no, no, no.
But we spoke about his team for 30 minutes, guys. We can't. I know it's the biggest club in the world, but they don't pay us.
We don't want to torture our viewers any longer.
Unless you can organize them to pay us.
They've got money. Maybe they can find a segment there.
Okay, yeah, but let's go. It's not going to get goals.
Let's bet.
Damn.
Liverpool need a genie replacement. Jude Bellingham or Bissouma. Genie, that's still a sore spot for me, man. Okay.
He scored some nice goals for PSG, man. I was watching the game yesterday. I loved the way he was in the box, adding an extra body in the box yesterday.
And he's always got a smile on his face, man.
He does, man. So I was happy for him because there was rumors that the South American boys weren't passing to him in training because they don't want him to take Paredes' role in the team. So
That's the thing.
I can believe that because Messi is very close to Paredes, and Di Maria is very close to him, and yeah, that South American contingent can be a bit spicy.
And they can be dicks. Let's be honest, South Americans can be dicks. We've seen how they play, which is why we like them. But I do want to say, sort of genie thing, touching on Thiago. Thiago made an appearance last night.
Okay.
He made an appearance, but again, when I see him play, I get so frustrated. And like,
he just gives you thumbs ups.
They're just things that he does where, like, Genie would never do. So Genie was never this, again, the reputation, no one, for some reason, people didn't value him as much, but he never gave the ball away. Never, ever gave the ball away. He was always in the right place at the right time. He always tracked back. He knew how to press. He did all the basic things right all the time. Then you got a player like Thiago, thumbs up. He values the extravagant pass, which is great. He's a fantastic passer.
The Hollywood.
He plays football for that pass. He gave away the ball. I know he's just come back, but he gets nicked on the ball. And I'm like, that just would never happen to Genie. Never. That's something else we're going to talk about. So, first game. We're going to save the Man United, Man City game for last. Let's start backwards. We're going to start first on West Ham, Liverpool. Give us your predictions. We're going to start with Celo, Nick, and then we'll end with me.
Prediction for this one, 2-1 victory to Liverpool. I just think David Moyes' inferiority against Liverpool will get the better of him. So 2-1 to Liverpool.
I see a 3-2 win for Liverpool. I think you will concede. I think they're quite dangerous. But yeah, 3-2 win.
3-2-1. I'm going to say 3-1 win Liverpool. Ayanda, thanks for joining us. He says he's going to tune in more often. But that's just I know you're nervous for this West Ham game. 3-1 win for Liverpool. Let's calm those nerves, Ayanda. All right. Next game. Everton versus Spurs. Celo, let's hear it.
This one I see a 2-1 victory to Spurs. I think that Spurs will be galvanized by the new manager. Cracking the whip. I'm interested to see the lineup. If it's depending on what day is it? Is it a Sunday?
Sunday.
So I'll definitely watch the game. My Saturday is booked out for Man United and some alcoholic consumption. But yeah, 2-1 to Spurs.
I thinking throughout since I spoke about this, I think Rafa's going to spoil the party.
You love Rafa, yo.
I hope he spoils the party so he doesn't get fired. But yeah, I think 2-1 win for Everton. Hangover for Spurs in the Conference League.
Rafa gets fired. Nuno goes to Everton. Rafa goes to Newcastle.
Hey. But, yeah.
It's not going to happen. Eddie Howe is going to sign first, and then it's all going to play
out.
Would
you take Nuno at Newcastle?
But that will be like a recycled sort of situation. I'm not saying he's poor, but that means like he wasn't even in the frame. Like it would be poor from them to go get a coach that was in a job while they started the process. And now that he's fired, we're getting him.
It would be no different. It would be no different to Spurs, how Spurs got him as well. He wasn't really part of the...
Yeah. I think we can just get Rafa and then Eddie can be his assistant. That could work.
You know what's going to happen though, if Eddie Howe does come in and Rafa loses and he gets sacked, it's going to be like an Unai situation where Spurs wanted Conte, Newcastle wanted Rafa. It's going to Eddie Howe's going to fuggle. Yeah. He's going to struggle to get results and then
what struggle?
Imagine. Yeah. But yeah, Everton to win 2-1.
Yo, okay. I'm going to say jeepers, Conte is going to get something there. I think Sam's got a good shot. 2-2. I'm going to say 1-1 draw. Because Compact's going to frustrate
Compact.
Arsenal versus Watford, gentlemen.
Arsenal's been playing very well. 2-0 victory to the Gunners.
Yeah, took the words out of my mouth. I think also they've solidified at the back. Simple 2-0 conventional win.
Wonga's going to like this. I'm going to say 3-1. 3-1 victory. Still going to win by 2-goal difference, but they're going to score some goals, and he's going to smile. He's going to come back on Tuesday, and he's going to be louder. Brighton versus Newcastle.
Guys. I want Newcastle to buy a victory. They got the money to buy a victory. But this one is a draw, 1-1.
Hey, listen, a point's a point, but we need to win somewhere. So, like, I'm going to say we're going to win. We have to win eventually.
Against Brighton, away from home.
We have to win eventually. And Brighton don't have a great record against us. I think they've only won, like, 2-13 or something like that. Guys, I'm going to go for it. We're going to have Eddie Howe in the stands watching.
Look at Pumza's score.
They're going to play for a spot in the next team. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win 2-1.
Look, after what they did against Liverpool, there's no ways.
2-1.
You guys are going to come in there. They're going to be buzzing. They're showing their pedigree.
They're going to take it for granted. They're going to say this Newcastle team's tied. Watch.
No.
We're going to win
2-1. They're going to go there with the same mindset that Pum said earlier. All the teams must relegate Newcastle.
Okay. We're going to re-look at this on Tuesday.
I'm going to say 2-0 victory, Brighton. I'm talking shit. No, Newcastle have a goal on them. I'm going to say 2-1 victory, Brighton.
Okay.
2-1 victory. Okay, now the big one for the weekend, technically the start of the weekend. It's going to set the tone for Settle's weekend. It determines how much he drinks on the Sunday while watching the Spurs game.
He's going to drink regardless.
He's drinking a lot of drinking this weekend, Settle.
Yeah. Win, lose, you're going to have to drown your sorrows or celebrate your...
You see, what happened was when I was watching them, I was not watching, but when I heard of the scoreline, the Man United Liverpool game, I was at a whiskey tasting. And once, the more goals came, the more, we had obviously a measuring, for a single double, So when it was 4-0, I was drinking quadruple shots of whiskey in my drinks. So, but this one, I think it's a 1-1 draw. I just have a funny feeling of how he just does it over Pep, but not a win. He won't win. But I think it'll be a 1-1 scoreline. Hey, listen, if he surprises me and starts to find a bake and starts a Sancho, I could give him a win. But he's going to start McFred. No imagination in the midfield. So it's going to be a 1-1.
2-2 draw. 2-2 draw. Entertaining game. I think Ronaldo will be the difference for Man United to get a result. But I think City will turn it on as well. They'll just be a little bit short at the back with the likes of Ronaldo.
I say if they make Ronaldo captain, it's a hands-down victory for Man United. But I'm going to go against the grain and I'm going to say Man United are going to win because I'm all for Ole in. And I think if Man City drop points, I think it's a good thing for Liverpool. And I think it's also a good result for Liverpool fans. Ole can keep going.
When they even want us to win because our manager must stay in the job. Oh,
there we go.
That's right, James.
Pretty much wraps up the show for this evening. So final thoughts from your end. Selo and then Nick. Let's hear it. What do you think?
Nothing much, eh? Just interesting to see what happens this weekend. I think, obviously, it's the last round of fixtures before the last international break of the year. Let's see what the lads have in the engine before they go away to their respective teams. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Nick's club does in terms of the managerial situation.
Guys, since we started Goal Lounge, we've always had me as a Newcastle fan on the show with Steve Bruce as my manager. So hopefully by the next show, we'll have a new manager.
Hey,
so we have to celebrate. So yeah, looking forward to rosier times for the two.
A new manager.
Yeah.
Right, Goal Lounge family, we just want to say thank you very much for tuning in. You guys rock. If you haven't bought a shirt yet, you don't rock as much as I think you actually rock. Also, if you haven't joined our Discord channel, the link's in the bottom, so feel free to have the conversation with us. We know Sam and Pooms, you guys are with us all the time, so thank you very much. And yeah, feel free to join us. We want to grow the community, and we enjoy having you here. Settle?
Cuckoo. No.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Did you say it? Oh, you didn't, I didn't hear what you said. Ah, oh, man, this guy, man. Ah.
There you go. Nick's on the phone. Sleeping.
Yeah, hey, three, but listen, I saw Aman, but he didn't comment after he said hi, which was weird.
He's in his like biochemistry class, bro. Give him a break.
That's why. Yeah. But yeah, let's try it again.
3, 2, 1.
Stop it.